And fingers crossed the internet holds up for us for half an hour or so.
Yeah, well, let's hope there's some luck out there in the world still.
Yes, exactly. Hey, talk us through these two movies we're going to talk about today because, wow.
Okay, so this is basically going to be the first part of our careful what you wish for cluster of episodes because I thought that we were doing too much talking about Aussie movies and was feeling a bit burnt out, so I'm like, all right, let's see what I could suggest. So we have another, a very us kind of double feature where they're both independent animated movies, and that's pretty much where the similarities stop.
Definitely. Because
the first one is the Sundance film that could, We Are the Strange, and afterwards we'll be talking about a far more respected movie, I guess, like one that people might have actually heard of with The Secret of Hell.
Okay, cool. So We Are the Strange. I'm going to let you lead on this.
Okay. So I first heard about this movie through like the critics on YouTube that I watched that got me into doing this whole thing.
Okay.
And it definitely like caught my attention because as I'm sure Talia will be able to back up. Like, just from the clips I saw of this initially, I can scarcely think of anything else that looks like this, at least as far as films go. And
as far as movies go, yeah, definitely.
And I'm probably going to pull the rug out from under you, Tarles, because of all the things I have to say about this movie, none of it involves plot, because I still genuinely do not know how to explain what actually happens in story.
Yeah. You did pull the rug out from under me. That's pretty much all I say about it. Other than...
But...
Yes, go on.
I do have plenty to say about it because, like, this is... Like, I had a bad feeling I'd be in this situation where I wouldn't be able to actually properly explain the plot. But there is a lot of other stuff here that I can not only actually talk about, but I genuinely think are quite fascinating about this.
Oh, good. Because I was bamboozled by this film is probably the easiest way to put it. And I don't really, other than that, I really enjoyed the actual animation to the point where I could get a picture of blue in the forest blown up and I would frame that and put that on my wall. I really love the aesthetic of the film, but I didn't fucking understand any of it.
Yeah, and okay, hear me out, but there are two things that this reminded me of.
Okay, yeah.
The first is kind of obvious, the other... not so obvious. All right. Okay. We'll start with the not so obvious one first.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to bet that I'm going to lose a lot of people with this comparison, but the closest, I can come to in terms of like a film that people might've actually seen that this reminded me of, like, as far as like its stylistic choices, hear me out. The Captain Underpants movie.
Oh. Okay.
All right. And reason why I specify that is because the Captain Underpants movie and this movie basically operate on the same like kitchen sink mentality, because they both work on like, it's not just animated, it's animated in a variety of different ways. Like with the Captain Underpants movie, it had like traditional, well, sort of traditional CGI. It had like sequences that were mocked up to look like comic books drawn by kids, which fits into the plot for that. There's even bits that, like, acted out in like with like felt puppets. It's like a melange of different things, and this honestly feels the same way, but it's all digital. It uses like a lot of stop motion animation. There's tons of CG work on it, and like a lot of green screening stuff. Like it basically looks like the internet as a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a way of putting it, very much.
And as for the I guess what would be the more obvious side of things, and this is honestly one of the main reasons why the lack of coherency with the plot doesn't really bother me all that much, is because the aesthetic, like you said, the aesthetic is like that on point, because the whole thing, it is a video game movie.
Yeah.
In the purest sense of the term that I think I've ever seen.
Definitely.
Right down to like the opening shot showing like a big ass, like Neo Geo sized cartridge, probably like weighs a ton all on its own.
Yeah, yeah.
And rather than having like, you know, such and such as Blue, such and such as M, such and such as him, we have like a character select, but the character we eventually go with is the camera, which is honestly kind of like one of those like really like minor but genius ideas, because like even with like, you know, all the like even video game adjacent movies that have come out recently, like Hardcore Henry, which is like one of the greatest things ever for like, you know, gamers. Okay. Quite frankly, it's like so much goddamn fun. But with this, the whole thing is, well, set up to be like a video game, including the iffiness in terms of plot, because, well, how to put it, even though like there is a lot of examples that can be given in terms of like really like genuinely like cinematic video game plots, admittedly there might be too many of them, but it's an entirely different argument.
Yeah,
but it's sort of like, how to put it, it's the mentality of like it's the 8-bit mentality. It's the NES, like Sega Master System, ZX Spectrum, the sound chips for which I think were used to actually make the music for this, because there's chip tunes all over this thing.
Speaking of the music, wasn't there like about 16 different composers, for want of a better word, contributed to the music for this?
The music itself, I don't think it's so much that there was like a bunch of different people working on it as much as there's a bunch of different soundtracks for this thing. Like the first actual thing I saw of this movie was M.Strange on YouTube doing like a promo for the DVD, and it included like something like close to a dozen alternate soundtracks, subtitle options that include leet speak. Like, that's how ingrained in the internet this whole thing is. And I can't speak to it. Like, we're both working off of the version that M.Strange uploaded himself onto YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, by the way, legend.
Yeah.
Gotta say that.
Yeah.
Gotta say that, because it is really cool that he did that.
Yeah.
And, like, and it's because of, like, how, you know, bleepy and bloopy the actual soundtrack is, combined with how the thing looks, it really does... Like, it feels like you're just walking through, like, a video game world where it's just, you know, unlikely hero has to save, you know, a damsel in distress from what I guess can be called, like, a dragon in this situation. Because, like, aside from wondering if the hymn in the actual thing is the same as the hymn from Powerpuff Girls, because they're about as... Tim Curry in Rocky Horror Picture Show levels camp to each other. Just what was that line? I would feel more impressed if you took that dress off. Like, again, like when I say this is like all things gamer, that also includes a bit of the casual sexism on display. I hate getting into that aspect because...
No, I know, but it's worth mentioning. I felt that a little bit,
Yeah, but I don't really know how else to say it. Like, as far as this, like, rule of cool, which is basically, like, the mentality of if it looks good, use it, you don't need to worry that much about context, this really does feel like everything's been poured into it, from the recurring sound bites from Sinistar, I hunger. Like,
yeah.
That is retro as fuck.
Yeah.
To the like the 8-bit music, to the very sudden dips into what I can only describe as Dragon Ball Z on crack. Like just like the whole thing of like the giant, robots fighting each other at the end, at least I'm presuming that's what that was.
Yeah, yeah. Who knows? But it did, and, like, all the, I have to agree, definitely with it. It felt like someone who was like, okay, I've got a spare like 6 months and, you know, I've got all these ideas and I'm really into gaming and I'm just going to throw all this shit in there and see what sticks.
And like, even like, you know, the bits of the plot I could like make out without needing to, take so much LSD I can see all through time. There's also like something like very kind of like iconic video game and how it starts with M wanting to go on, what was it, the ice cream train?
Ice cream train, yeah. And
he's
25 cents.
Exactly. He needs a quarter, which again, so arcade friendly.
Yeah.
He needs a quarter to go on the ice cream train. And from there, it just balloons out into like this this assassin who teamed up with a guy made out of origami.
Yeah.
Or just like a paper man who folds himself into like planes and shit.
And it
all ends with like this massive, like, you know, earth-shattering world. Earth-shattering, like, you know, world ending battle between good and evil.
Yeah.
And
it's chaos. If he was going for the world's fucking weirdest movie, he probably might have made it into the top 10.
How to put it? Not only am I not convinced that this is M. Dot Strange's strangest movie,
right?
I believe I have I own a DVD that might argue against it. Actually, he teamed up with, well, he collaborated with the maker of Where the Dead Go to Die, which is my pick for most disturbing movie, considering I actually blacked out while watching it.
Whoa.
And I almost suggested that in place of We Are the Strange, but because I wasn't too sure if you'd be able to watch it without getting arrested, I played it relatively safe.
Well, gee, and for that.
Yeah, but it's just, and like, I have to admit, the film he did with the director of Where the Dead Go to Die, which is When Blackbirds Fly, I have to admit, this isn't like nearly as strange as this, but it might be more like confusing in terms of plot, because like in comparison to this, like when Blackbirds Fly is very like dystopian, like very heavy in like religious imagery and how much basically historic prejudice against women in terms of, you know, construction of the Bible and, you know, the religious hierarchy and stuff like that, like very dense stuff. Whereas with this, it really does feel like it is meant to be enjoyed on the same level as a video game, except instead of having a controller in our hands, we're basically like roped to the camera, which I still think is a pretty cool idea. And even on just like pure, I have no idea what's going on and I don't even care, just show me shit. It is like genuinely kind of beautiful in its incredibly glitchy way, like both in like how it looks and how it sounds, because while there are like, you know, chiptune stuff added to it, and I swear I saw Mega Man running across the screen at one point in like silhouette, there's like it's so much more than that, because like the level of detail behind these visuals are probably like the most insane part of the entire movie.
Oh, definitely. And apologies,
you can hear ducks behind me.
Rescue ducks.
We've gone full Farmville since the lockdowns happened. So anyway, just like Like the detail in the visuals with like, not just that it uses all these different techniques, but that it like lays it on top of it.
Yes.
To make like an aesthetic that even considering it is like from, you know, beginning to end, a video game on film, it treats that idea in a way that even with like the relatively recent, like, hey, video games aren't automatically shit now in light of stuff like Rampage and Detective Pikachu and stuff like that. This is like such a unique take on that idea, like as unique to this particular like subgenre as Hardcore Henry is, because they take the idea of we're making a movie basically based on a video game and taking it in like, you know, a direction that isn't just we'll take the bare bones story of a game and put it in the traditional Hollywood three-act structure. Whereas with this, and again, why I keep referring back to Hardcore Henry, it's the pure aesthetic of the game, not just like its story or the traditional, you know, good versus evil stuff you can find pretty much anywhere.
Yeah.
It's how to put it. When Ready Player One came out, there was a lot of talk about how it might only be good for being able to pick out all the different references. With this, it's not so much like appreciation of video games being able, making you able to get the references, as much as like the more in tune you are with like, you know, history of video games, particularly like the NES, SNES era, where a lot of this definitely spawned from. And of course, like, you know, ZX Spectrum, which was used to help make the music for the trailer at the very least, not sure about the movie as a whole, but it was involved in it at some point. A lot of like the very like, how to put it, the story itself is the bit that probably makes the least sense, but the aesthetic itself makes all the sense, because even though it is taken from like so many different pieces, all the pieces like fit together. Like, how has no one else done this before?
Yeah, it's definitely not. Well, the like. And you've already gone over this, the plot is, you know, it's problematic for various reasons, but it's certainly not, this wasn't done lightly. Like it wasn't accidental. Nothing about the aesthetic of this film is accidental. It's very purposeful and very, like you said, it's incredibly detailed I'm searching for the word, not deep, like it's layered, you know, it's not just, you know, like you can tell that there's very much an intention behind what he did, while the plot itself seems like he just sort of, this is like an old man rambling on about something, kind of everything that's really going on, but you can get a little bit of a gist in there. Well, that feels like that. The everything else about it is certainly feels really intentional. What he's aiming to do. It wasn't just an accident, you know.
And honestly, like, while the film on its own is already kind of like miraculous in its own way, especially considering like this made it all the way to Sundance.
Yes.
When it premiered, there's also like, even with that going on, when he was like putting it together, he actively wanted to release it on the internet first so that he could retain all the rights to it and all the profit made from the sales of merch and DVDs and stuff like that. And he actively referred to Sundance as a fancy underscore pants festival, which is all kinds of internet. And especially since, like, in terms of like YouTube as a medium for showing these kinds of movies, like the stuff from Jimmy Screamer Claws, who did Where the Dead Go to Die, or basically anyone weird, like
anyone weird.
Like The Strange. Yeah. This is like, honestly, when I think of like these kinds of, you know, movies, or even just like, you know, clips on YouTube, this feels like a serious like predecessor, because it came out pre-2010s when it felt like everyone in their backstage, you know, rendering unit was, you know, putting up these, you know, we don't care if it looks bad, it's all part of the main kind of animation, which admittedly I have no issue with. Source Filmmaker is one of the greatest inventions in the history of humankind. I am such a stand for this area of filmmaking. It's kind of, well, obvious if you've heard me talk about it at all. But it's just, it's this kind of, how to put it, this is another indie film situation where I find myself in like a Steven Soderbergh, you know, mindset where it's like, this is a very like democratized, you know, I'm going to show it to everyone. If the upper crust wants to look at it, that's cool, but I'm not sweating it too much. It's a very, it feels like the kind of film people only make when they genuinely want to make it.
Yes, definitely. Well, it's like we've talked about before, when you get into a situation where you've got a group of people involved and you have producers come in and say, no, nah, that's not going to work, or we're going to cut, you know, 30 minutes out of it or whatever. And you, in those situations, often you end up without the genuine article. And this, for all its, you know, interesting aspects, it's the genuine article. Like there's this is what the, like I said before, it's about intention. This was his intention.
It really is like a, I would argue like a cornerstone as far as like proper geek cinema. It's like the kind of geeky films that go like, all right, have you you know, are you a real like, you know, console gamer? Did you grow up watching like Dragon Ball Z and Pokemon? Do you love seeing people just go, fuck it, I'm going to do whatever the hell I want. This is the stuff that's made for you.
Yeah.
And considering I am, well, I would argue that I am all of those things. It honestly just feel like, you know what? It is one of the situations where I, as I kept saying, like, yeah, I am confused by the plot, but it's not like I feel like I am not good enough to understand it, like I have been with certain other films, like first time watching The Babadook or Hereditary and stuff like that. Now, it feels more like I don't really get the plot, but I get the feeling I wasn't supposed to focus.
No, I agree. Yeah. I don't think you're supposed to. Yeah. I think it's just like, it's, yeah, it's too random.
And I can totally get the mindset of, like, you know, purely on the basis of aesthetics. Like, I've got all this cool stuff I want to watch, I want to show everyone, but I'm not entirely sure how I'm going to, like, string it all together. So it's just like, you know what, I'll do what, you know, the games way back then were doing, back before, like, you know, in-engine cutscenes and, you know, pre-rendered cutscenes or just, like, cutscenes at all. It was just the gameplay. It basically does treat like filmmaking like programmers back in the day treated gameplay, where it's just like, you're not here for like a great story because we don't have nearly enough like processing power to even like give you that much of one. We just want to give you an experience. And in that regard, this might be one of the best video game movies ever, because it's one of the rare few that actually like feels like a real middle ground between the two and not just filmmakers co-opting video game jargon and tropes for their own medium. It feels like an actual, I love these two things and I want them to join together, do the fusion dance and come together and just explode on the screen.
Yep. Well, it's certainly, if you consider yourself in that geekdom, then I'd check it out. But personally, I didn't enjoy it. Like, I can get why you did, but I didn't at all. I dragged myself through it. I was like,
fuck. Fair enough, I guess.
You know, but that's just, I'm just not his target market at all.
And fair enough. And, well, you know, look on the bright side. This is probably, like, the first movie in a while where we didn't have to pay for rental fees.
I know!
Which definitely would have helped. And that is definitely, like, if you've got, like, an hour and a half to kill, and you don't mind being confused and, you know, and enjoying yourself at the same time. It's free on YouTube, and you'd be, you know, direct support. Well, you'd be showing support for the actual director by doing so, and it's not like we're going anywhere. No. Even more so, we're not going anywhere over the last couple of days.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, check it out. All right, so Book of Kells, and I picked this because I was like, okay, well, all I can, the only way I can try to find some connection with We Are the Strange, which you'd suggested, I was like, fuck, I can't, how would you even like start? So I went, all right, I'm just going to go for another independent animated film that I hadn't seen. And I just like literally, you know, went through Google and this jumped out at me because I like Irish culture and stuff. So I picked this and kind of regretted it.
Oh.
Oh, look, it was, I don't know what I was expecting, but it was go on. You give me your, what did you think?
All right. This, how's this for connections? All right. This is another movie that I first learned about through like all the internet reviewers I watched back in the day, but it didn't quite go on my radar, even though I've heard that, Cartoon Saloon, the Irish studio that made this, have, you know, kept on making movies. They made, oh God, what's that one called? The Breadwinner, which came out like fairly recently, like in the last 2-3 years, which I've been hearing like a lot of buzz about, mainly because it was, mainly because Angelina Jolie helped produce it, apparently.
Okay.
And also like, We Are the Strange, The Secret of Kells is another movie where I had a really hard time like pinning down like the actual aesthetic of the thing. Like, I'm willing to bet that there's like a whole wealth of Irish artistic history that I'm completely ignorant about that would help explain why this looks the way it does. Because like We Are the Strange, it looks like so few other movies out there,
definitely.
Which is definitely part of the reason why I think it caught on as it did. Like the closest I can come to in terms of like figuring out like what this reminded me of. Have you ever heard of this movie called The Thief and the Cobbler?
No. Yeah. All right,
it's a movie made by the guy who did all the animation for Who Framed Roger Rabbit. and the production like chaos behind that feature, like to the point where it got finished after his death by other people. It was supposed to be silent, but they added in voices and all this other stuff. That could fill its own episode.
Okay.
But in terms of just like the very I kind of put into words like the quality that it reminds me of, but just the very like not standard Western animation. It looks like it's tapping from like very specific traditions that aren't the standard for like every other animator out there. Like how
yeah, for sure, definitely think that they were drawing on some Celtic traditional artwork in the film for sure.
Yeah. And thankfully, I can talk about the story in regards to this. It is a lot easier to follow, even though it is like probably like about as long, if not shorter, than We Are the Strange. It's like under 80 minutes.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, I do have like conflicted feelings about the plot as a whole. Like on one hand, the whole idea of the Abbey of Kells, where it's all taking place, and the Abbot, voiced by Brendan Gleeson, who I'll never not be happy to hear or see in any movie.
How good is his voice? I'm obsessed with it. As soon as he spoke, I was like, oh, yay. I didn't even know it was him. Yeah.
Yes, it's like on one hand, him and like the very isolationist like mentality he has, just like build a wall around the entire abbey. Like that on its own, especially like over the last like 5 years, has taken on a whole new meaning.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, there's how that's put against, you know, the threat of Viking invasion, which also over the past few years has taken on a new meaning, considering how much like Viking and Nordic mythology is co-opted by white supremacists nowadays. There's a reason why Norse fire was named as it was in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I do want to bring up this one little pop culture tidbit in relation to the Viking white supremacist stuff, because like any excuse to talk about this pretty much. You know the movie Thor, the first Thor movie, the
Marvel. Yeah, like I'm vaguely familiar with it.
Right. Well, there's a character in it called Heimdall, who's like the Nordic protector of like the Rainbow Bridge that connects all the different like mystical realms. Now, in like the, well, what I guess would be called like, you know, the literature of the time, he's described as the whitest of the gods. And yeah, but here's where it gets funnier. They cast Idris Elba to play him in the movie. I will never get tired of that, especially since I keep seeing like Norse mythology being wielded by,
yeah,
how to put this diplomatically,
that would have been very upsetting for a lot of people.
I reserve the right to say that, considering my own mentally disabled status and the fact that, well, how to put it, I'm the spastic and I'm pretty sure white supremacists act more retarded than I do on any given day.
I had a very similar experience with when I watched I Am Legend, because I read that book, which was written in the 50s, and it's very racist. And it's in the original book, it's a white guy who, before the zombie apocalypse, like they're talking amongst themselves and their family about that colored family down the street and all this. And then they cast Will Smith in the leading role for that. And I was like, that's fucking great.
Yeah. Try and redirect myself. Redirect from that
back to the Kells. Sorry, I just found it a boring movie, so I'm struggling to talk about it.
I really got sidetracked. But considering like the main thing at the core of Secret of Kells, which is basically barbarism versus enlightenment.
Yeah.
This is where I have to talk about the other hand thing between like the isolationist, you know, Christians versus the barbaric Vikings. Like, mm-hmm. even with all the stuff I said in regards to what the Viking, like Viking mythology has evolved into nowadays, there's something a little fundamentalist about the idea of just like, we need to protect our traditions from these savages.
Totally.
Like, I don't know what it is, but there is something like instinctually, and I'm just like, oh dear.
That's what happened to me when I watched it. Like, I just kind of went, okay. I don't know. Once I felt like that, it was difficult to pull myself out of it again. As cute and as, you know, the story got better and stuff, but I just had that underlying, oh, really? Like, and I know it's set in like the fucking 7th century or something, or the 9th century or something. So it's like, you've got to take into, I guess, account that this is quite an ancient culture, I guess. And so they thought differently in those days to how we think now. But I just kind of rolled my eyes a bit.
Yeah, admittedly I did too. But as I like thought a bit more about it, in context, especially as far as like the damage the Vikings did in their own day, let alone what their ideology has been twisted into nowadays.
For sure.
Especially considering, like, I'm pretty sure we both watched this like over the last couple of days, and considering the last couple of days in terms of like, you know, tradition and knowledge and basically the strength of, you know, a community of a culture in the face of just violent, well, you know, aggression and, you know, being conquered and stuff like this. Even with all of like the stuff that I couldn't like shake out of my head, there is something kind of poignant about how the film ends in regards to just like, yeah, our home has been basically burned to the ground, but our culture lives on. These, well, they are barbarians, and even with all of, you know, even with all the physical destruction they did because of the efforts of Brendan and the wise man that that apprenticed him, their culture, what is written down, which itself is part of the reason why, from what I understand, the film looks as it does. It takes from I guess like older Irish artistic like approaches to poetry and stuff like that. It's all about the Irish artistic culture surviving in the face of, well, tragedy. And considering what is like everything that the Irish have been subjected to since this, most of which involves the British, because they're like Corona before Corona. They just went everywhere and fucked up everyone's shit. And to pull it into like what's happening right now, because as we're recording, riot everywhere. There's something that I like, even with all my misgivings in regards to like my own modern context.
Sure.
By that same token, the notion of like, like art in its purest form connected to a very specific culture that, because this film is so striking, we don't even see that much of anywhere near the mainstream, let alone actually getting like attention like this did.
Yeah.
There's something that I kind of want to hold on to that idea. I want to hold on to the idea that, there could be, all kinds of, physical destruction, everything gets burned to the fucking ground. Mm-hmm. And, but after all, we, rise out of it. We rebuild, we cling on to, our own, we cling on to who we are, collectively as a group, as a culture, even in the face of just terrible things happening.
Agree. It wasn't awful, and I didn't hate it. I don't know, maybe I wasn't in the mood. We've talked about this before as well. Sometimes I'm just not, like, I don't know, in the mood to be taken on that kind of journey. And I was kind of looking for a cute animated film. I don't know.
Yeah, although I will admit, one thing that I don't think any... well, honestly, anything either of us can say can take away from the battle between young Brendan and, what was it,
Crumcrotch or whatever,
basically the death god.
Yeah.
And the idea of just, like, being able to, like, pretty much literally, draw it into, into its own bubble, and it basically destroying itself, which is, without putting too fine a point on it, is part of the reason why I kind of get why, isolation, social isolation, in terms of, like, the conversation and, like, locking yourself off from anything else, tends to be a bit self-destructive. And with certain isolationist, we keep to our own, stay the fuck out of our way or we'll destroy you. Mm. That's the kind of mentality that kind of deserves to, cannibalize itself, basically.
Definitely. And I agree with everything you're saying, 100%, and particularly that part about the preserving that culture, that art, and that and the book, I guess, the which is connected to the culture. It's an important story to always tell. I'm just not sure it pulled it off for me. That's all.
I can definitely get that. And well, another comparison with We Are the Strange, I do find myself a lot more interested in like the visual aesthetic of the thing than I am with its story overall. I can better understand what the actual story is.
Yeah. Yes.
But
that wouldn't be like, hard.
It's like, especially since like, I guess I'm just like way too used to like every single animated movie being A, CGI, and B, the same like really rounded, bouncy kind of visuals.
No, which... that's why I kind of felt bad, because I was like, am I too like spoilt with, you know what I mean? That I can't appreciate this for what it is, because I looked at it and I was like, oh, it's kind of just like drawings. Oh, boring. I hated myself for thinking that, but I did.
Well, for a start, never hate yourself for, you know, not liking something. I have been through that experience. It's not fun. It's just you beating yourself up for having different tastes than what you were expecting.
No, I just mean I was being a bit like of a brat. It's like, oh, this isn't like, you know, this isn't the standard I'm used to.
All right, if you want to take the uber poncy stick for this episode.
I didn't feel a bit uber poncy. I was like, oh.
It's just, well, and yeah, it is like, I honestly do think, like, you know, rounding off, both of these movies are really good. I honestly do have to kind of agree with you that I probably wasn't in the, like, the best mindset
in terms
of, like, being able to properly enjoy it, which... Given everything that's happened over the past few weeks, I like to think I'm, you know, it's at least reasonable that I wouldn't be completely with it.
Totally.
At this stage.
Yeah, I know. No. But
at the same time, these are both, like, you know, proper quality films. Oh,
definitely. Definitely.
And definitely in regards to, like, you know, both before and even after they first came out, there's very little that actually looks like this stuff, or at the very least looks like this and works with that visual aesthetic, with like, you know, ancient Irish art with this one, and, you know, all things video game culture and anime with We Are the Strange. And on that basis alone, in terms of just like, you know, something different to spice things up a bit, so you don't end up with really dull tastes to kind of reject anything new, like I think both you and I are going through right now.
Yes, definitely. And that's why, and I would just hate for the filmmakers to be like listening to this, because honestly, they'll be like, that fucking Natalia. Seriously, rolling their eyes like, oh, she just doesn't get it. And they'd be right, because they just, but I think it was just the mindset I was in at the time. I don't think I was in the mood for something so, I guess, artsy. And I'm normally, I love different, and I love that kind of, you know, an artistic expression that doesn't, you know, pander to the masses. Normally that's my jam, but I just, I don't know. I'm sorry. I want to say sorry to the filmmakers. I'm sorry for not enjoying your movie.
and I hate to say it, but like, even though I did enjoy both films quite a bit, just I honestly do feel like I'm running on half, like, for this recording. So I do apologize if, you know, like, if this comes off like lackluster on my end. Just a lot of shit's been going on.
You sound great.
But
yes,
I can guarantee, well, I can almost guarantee that once we get done with the next episode, you'll be looking back on this a lot more fondly.
It's going to be very interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, I got to go get the kids. And we'll try and catch up towards the end of this week. Have you watched the other movies?
I've been waiting for like an official, you know,
should we aim for Friday? I need a deadline, otherwise I'll just never watch them. Should we aim for Friday?
Same here at this stage. Yes, Friday works.
Okay, cool. All right. I'll talk to you then. Thanks.
All right, cool.
High five. Bye.